Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. One of the things I really enjoy about my job is that over the years I've been able to interview most of the evangelical, charismatic, and Pentecostal leaders in America, and even some around the world. Well, this week I was in Springfield, Missouri to interview the brand new General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Dr. Doug Clay. We talked about some very important issues, not only for the Assemblies of God, but that apply to the wider church. After this word from our sponsor, you'll hear the interview I did in his office at the headquarters of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri, where I interviewed the 13th General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Dr. Doug Clay.
Whether a popular do-it-yourself program or the latest home improvement magazine, they all reflect our desire to take something old and make it new again. Did you know that God wants to do the same with your life? Be transformed by God's miraculous power and encounter Him in a fresh new way in author and carpenter Mary Dodd's new book, The Pink Tool Belt. This is not just another study guide. The Pink Tool Belt will serve as a blueprint leading you to become like Christ in your thinking, your words, and your actions every day of your life. Love others differently, overcome past hurts, resist temptation, and experience freedom and peace the way Jesus intended. The book is available today at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, ChristianBook.com, or MaryDodd.com.
Dr. Clay, when you were consecrated as a General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, you listed four core values. Would you tell us what those are?
Sure. They're really more prayer points that I have in my heart as it relates to, I was drawn an analogy between Luther's thesis. As you know, we're celebrating this month the 500th year of the Protestant Reformation. And I just started dreaming, what would it be for a Pentecostal Reformation to happen? And if I could attach these values, that's what I would do. And the first one was, the Holy Spirit's a person. He's not an it. And I'm third generation Pentecostal preacher's kid, born and raised in this thing. And I really want to see the Holy Spirit do what He does best and magnifies Jesus. So not to manipulate, not to ignore, not to try to hide, just let the Holy Spirit be Him. Second thing that I articulated is that I really want to see us reaffirm our understanding that the Bible is truth, absolute truth. It's not just a piece of classic literature with some nice sayings that show up on Hallmark greeting cards, but we really do believe it's the foundation for all of life transformation, community transformation, and in fact, biblical literacy is one of the major initiatives that I want to take on during my administration. Third thing I talked about was that character matters. So regardless of your title, regardless of how many books you can write, you know, Paul says, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then you're an out-of-tuned instrument. And I really, really want those in our tribe, the Assemblies of God, that if you're in spiritual leadership, you place a high priority on character. And then the fourth value that I'd love for us to embrace is to not get sidetracked from our primary purpose. You know, one of the first organized conventions of Assemblies of God leaders convened in the Chicago area. And they crafted at that point what we would identify as a vision statement today. It went something like this. We commend ourselves and the leaders of this fellowship to see the greatest evangelism movement the world has ever seen. And now 103 years down line, I think we've seen that. And so I'm committed to say that in the DNA of the Assemblies of God, a Pentecostal organization, evangelism is going to have a high priority. So part of sharing that in a consecration service was just to reaffirm who we are and to look towards the preferred future by keeping those values at the forefront.
The Assemblies of God has grown for 27 years, and most denominations are decreasing year after year. So is evangelism the reason that you attribute this growth to?
You know, first of all, the Lord should get all the credit and glory. And I don't want to get caught up in numbers. Because I will confess that the kingdom of God is a whole lot bigger than the Assemblies of God. But I am jealous for our slice of the Assemblies of God pie. So, yes, I do think, because we understand that being Pentecostal and being missional in evangelism go hand in hand. And I think if we keep sort of that understanding that being Pentecostal is both Acts 1:8 and 2:4. It's just not about the good feeling of the blessing, but it's about being a witness into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So I would attribute, yes, the evangelism heart of the leaders of our fellowship.
If you were going to give a State of the Union address about the Assemblies of God, how would you describe where the fellowship is in 2017?
You know, it's kind of unique. I'm probably going to be the first general superintendent that doesn't just pastor a denomination, but I pastor a bunch of affinity groups. I mean, we're 103 years old, and you've got affinity groups that identify themselves based on their generation, or you have the church planters, or an under 40, or a conservatively speaking, or the rural church persons, the mega church. So we have all of these sort of affinity group. So there's a diversity in addition to our ethnic diversity. Assemblies of God is 42% ethnic minority and growing. So I would say that our diversity can be our strength, but we got to steward it carefully and not let it become a liability to create division. So if we will make sort of the main things, you know, I shared with a group of leaders the other day, we live in a fractured culture today, particularly in the United States. And I don't think this fracture is going to get fixed through legislation, through military strength, through economic reforms, because the fracture at the core is because we're alienated from God. So our four core beliefs in the Assemblies of God is that Jesus is our Savior, Baptizer, Healer, and soon coming King. And I think if we can keep ourselves wrapped around that, that'll strengthen our identity and not let our diversity sort of dilute our identity.
Your predecessor, George Wood, became well known outside the denomination and highly respected. He also made a lot of changes. Are you going to keep the changes, or are you going to make your own changes? What can we expect from Doug Clay?
Sure. Well, I'm the 13th General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and certainly following number 12 is pretty intimidating because he was a brilliant leader. I think our first superintendent that had both an earned doctorate in law as well as theology. And so, you know, I would never try to fill the shoes of Dr. Wood. He made some incredible strides in pushing the ball down the field in terms of diversity. You know, we have a 21-member executive board. Now, 7 out of those 21 are either ethnically diverse and/or female. So he really opened the door for ethnic diversity, for gender, particularly female in leadership, to give position to that. Changing anything that he's done? No, I want to capture the mind of God. I'm only about 7 days into this. So, you know, my personal conviction is that vision follows authority. And that authority has only been on my shoulders for 7 days. So I really just want to seek the mind of God and find out what He has for us in our preferred future.
Recently, you were interviewed by local media, and there was an interesting story that they played again and again. Tell me what that was.
Sure. The reporter led with, there's a lot of people that have been hurt. There's a lot of people that are suspicious of the institution of the church. What would you say to those people? I reflected for a moment and I said, I think the first thing I would say is I'm sorry. And I would say this on the podcast. If the church, the institution of the church, or an individual has hurt you, I am deeply, deeply sorry, especially if it happened in the context of the Assemblies of God. But I would also say this. Don't stiff arm the love of God, and don't throw your gifts away just because a man or an institution didn't function spirit sensitive to you. Because, you know, my understanding is that all of us are created in God's image. Ephesians 2:10 is a great, great verse. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good deeds that He's prepared in advance for us to do. So don't let those good deeds that God's prepared in advance for you to do get shelved or get thrown away just because somebody disappointed you. So when I made that statement, I thought, well, certainly they'll edit that out. They ran that in its entirety, and I've gotten more feedback on that one comment than any of the other interviews.
That's a great witness for the Lord in the secular media. I'll give you the last word as you're just taking on this new role. What are the most important things that you're working on right now?
Yeah, I would say the things that really are consuming my prayer focus right now are what I would call the headwinds that are facing the Assemblies of God. First one, and it's probably not just the Assemblies of God, it could be the body of Christ at large, but for us, these are the five headwinds that I feel passionate to make a mark in. Number one, biblical literacy. I am deeply, deeply concerned that our children and young people grow up having a good working knowledge and understanding of Scripture. Everybody has a worldview. I mean, our experiences, our politics, the culture we're raised in. But I'm discovering a lot of people don't have a biblical worldview. And I want to see our churches be very word-centered in all we do and passing on an understanding of Scripture. Second headwind that I think is facing the church today is the whole understanding of human sexuality and teaching that from a biblical perspective. I mean things like the purpose of sex, the value of life, the sanctity of marriage. And 25, 30 years ago, perhaps we could depend on the school or some other organizations to teach that. And I'm afraid, Steve, that today the church can no longer be silent. And I don't want to come at it from some antagonistic or an angry point of view. I just want to represent to me, this is God's plan for human sexuality. This is God's design for that. It's not the strength of our protest that's going to change people. It's the power of Scripture. So I really see some space in our educational strategy with children and young people to teach human sexuality. I think the third headwind facing us as a fellowship is the potential threat to Christian higher education, and really not us, but all of Christian higher education. You know, number one, our schools are not heavily endowed. They're tuition driven, and so to stay competitive in the market, that happens. And then secondly, we dodged a bullet about 9 months ago, and I think some of the threats to Christian higher education through some legislation that may come down are very real threats. And I want Assemblies of God young people to have an opportunity to attend Christian higher education. When I was growing up, kind of the counsel that I got from my mom and my elders, if you don't know what God's will is for you, go to Bible college, because there in that context, you'll discover the will of God. Well, today it's, hey, if you don't know God's will, go to the local junior college or technical college, knock your gen eds out, and I think we might miss some kids having an opportunity to be involved in a place of higher education that has Christian values. I think the fourth headwind perhaps facing us in the Assemblies of God is what I would identify as the missiology of our missions. The sweet spot for the Assemblies of God has been our missions endeavor, our missiology. And we believe in the sovereignty of the local church. We believe in the indigenous church. And what's happened over the last few years is some of that understanding of the indigenous church has been replaced by a lot of causes. Great causes, water well causes, orphanage causes, humanitarian causes, and those are all good, and we're engaged in that. But when you really study the return on investment for missions dollars, that you are self-promoting, a self-propagating, a self-governing, a self-supporting church, that does have the highest return on our investment. And what I think is we can't assume that every generation understands the power of the indigenous church principle. So we got to do a better job in an earlier age educating. This is why we take that approach into our missions. And then, of course, the fifth headwind would be what I talk about, just these different affinity groups or the different blends of Assemblies of God churches. You know, 30 years ago, if I said, hey, let's go to the Assembly of God church in Orlando, but I'm from Ohio, it would kind of look, sound, feel the same. Today, when you say, well, I'm going to go to the Assembly of God church, well, what brand is it? You know, is it classical Pentecostal? Is it a little more progressive? Is it a part of a certain association? There are about seven different faces of what I would call Assemblies of God churches here in the United States. And I want us to be able to have a great identity. And so for me, I think Whether you worship on Saturday night, Sunday morning, whether it's more liturgical or more charismatic, that's secondary. To me, if an Assembly of God church can be known for being biblically Pentecostal and engaged in missions, then that to me is what I think is a healthy Assembly of God church.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Doug Clay, the new General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. You know, the things he talked about, especially the headwinds, as he called it, that are facing the Assemblies, is something the entire body of Christ must grapple with. You know, he follows Dr. George Wood, who was a great leader. But I believe that Doug Clay will even rise to higher heights. He's known as a man of humility. He is well-liked in the denomination. He is a whole generation younger than George Wood, so in a lot of ways, this is a passing of the torch from one generation to the next. As the Lord brings it to mind, remember to pray for Dr. Doug Clay and the Assemblies of God at this very crucial time. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.